Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with saxophonist Dan Kinzelman of the Italian avant collective Ghost Horse. I caught up with him about his new 2022 CD, Il Bene Comune, via Hora Records. Composed during Italy's second COVID lockdown in the winter of 2021-22, through digital correspondence and face-to-face meetings, the underlying structure of this music hinges on shared familiarity. This band offers a very unapologetic, original brand of avant jazz. Enjoy this interview.
Well, hey, Dan, thanks for taking a minute out today. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me, Joe.
Yeah. So where exactly are you located?
I'm located in Foligno, which is in central Italy. They call themselves the center of the world in Foligno because it's like kind of east to west. It's pretty much in the center and north to south as well of Italy. Maybe not the world.
But. Yeah, my ancestors are full-blooded Italian. I was actually over in Italy on 9/11/2001. I was in the back of a water taxi in Venice.
Oh, wow.
I spent some quality time. I absolutely love Rome.
Yeah, Rome is an amazing place.
Wow. It's just, it's magical. But at any rate, man, you got new material coming out. The world's waking up. Hopefully we're coming out of COVID. Live shows are happening. How does this release feel for you?
Well, I'm pretty excited about it. I mean, I have to say the interesting thing I think about making records is kind of that I think I read somewhere at some point that you never finish a mix, you only abandon it. And in a certain way, I feel kind of the same way about records. I think the record's done when you hate it. Although I have to say, I don't hate this one. It's just that, you know, it was just a huge project. And so now that it's out, I'm really happy that it's out and I want to play shows. So I'm excited about it. It seems to be going well. It's been quite well received so far. And hopefully we'll have the chance to present it in a lot of live shows over the next months and years.
So over this COVID time that we had, what did you learn about yourself that maybe you didn't realize before?
I think I'm a little bit less, I always thought I was kind of a loner, but I think this sort of really exposed my personal need for others. And I think that's also something that maybe a lot of us felt. And that's something that actually making this record kind of really illustrated that to me too, because when we met, which was in May of 2021, last year, a lot of us hadn't even played with other musicians or even been outside of our own cities for like months, you know, because Italy was actually in pretty hard lockdown at the time. It was illegal to travel outside your own kind of like county, more or less, unless you had some specific work-related reason or like a family emergency. So if you were just, you couldn't really go to another city unless you had an excuse, you know. So I think the experience of COVID was kind of really like, you know, extreme solitude or just kind of seeing a very small number of people. And the record gave me and us all a chance kind of to see what it was like to also enjoy being kind of in a group again, playing music together with other people again, and even just seeing other people and sharing a space with them and talking and, you know, having a meal together with people from other places. You know, I think that was really an important lesson for me, how much, despite the fact that I do enjoy my alone time, and a lot of us do, and we need that maybe to kind of to feel in balance, how much the actual social experience and shared human experience is kind of crucial to our, and that's kind of like what the record is about in a way too, I think.
So speaking of that shared experience, how did the collective come together? How did you all meet and make this sound that you have?
Well, the thing is, it's in Italy, I think also actually worldwide to a certain extent, there's kind of, I feel like there's sort of this feeling of family among people making a certain kind of music, or I think a lot of different kinds of music, but I would say the kind of contemporary jazz scene within Europe and also in New York and the US, the greater US, somehow you always know somebody that knows the person, you know? So it's like once in a while I meet somebody I don't know, but we always know somebody in common. Even this, the sextet, when the group initially was a trio and it continues to be a trio. It's called Hobby Horse and we are continuing to make records and play concerts. At a certain point in 2017, we were invited by a festival in Northern Italy to imagine a new project based around the trio. And together with them, we came up with these musicians. I'll just say the names of the musicians in the trio are Stefano Tamburino. He plays drums, and Joe Raymer plays bass. And my name is Dan Kinzelman. I play sax and clarinets. And we together with this festival in Northern Italy called Novara Jazz, we thought about some new musicians that we'd like to work with, and we picked a baritone guitar player named Gabriel Baldacci, who we all knew, and a trombone player named Filippo Vignato, who we all knew, and a tuba player named Glauco Benedetti, who we all knew. And we'd all kind of collaborated in some ways before. It's a very kind of incestuous family, I would say, within Italy and without Italy. But this was a chance for us to kind of spend we spent a week working together to kind of build the repertoire and everything. And we made our first record, which was released in 2019. This is the second studio record and our third record because we made a live record in the meantime.
So who would you cite as musical influences that you all kind of emulate or really dig that have kind of fueled what you do?
I think that's really hard to say because we certainly don't explicitly discuss that when we're making music. I can say some of the people that I really admire, but I think one of the things that makes it really enriching for me to work with the other people in the band is that actually a lot of them come from really different places. And I think there's a shared feeling that we're part of something that's happening on an Italian level and also on a global level, but I wouldn't necessarily say that we're directly imitating. We don't have a song where we think, okay, let's make this sound like a Gil Evans song, or let's make this one sound like Duke Ellington, or this one sound like, you know, we don't have like specific things that we're emulating. I think it's kind of this fusion of a lot of different languages that we've listened to, and especially the trio. We've been working together for, I guess, 12 years now, and everybody in that band listens to really different music, and you know, so I think it's actually really hard for me to say that, although I think that some elements that are kind of like emerge in this are things, you know, coming from free jazz. Maybe I would say certain elements of like kind of the Art Ensemble of Chicago. But it's interesting to me to hear what people that listen to the music hear in it, because we've had people comment that it sounds kind of like Primus, or that it sounds like prog rock from the 70s, or Gil Evans, or Carla Bley. I don't know. There's been a lot of different stuff. So I don't have a specific thing where we say we're going in this direction deliberately. I think it's more something that kind of comes out of the everybody's individual voice kind of melding together. And that's another thing about the way we write, which a lot of times, at least when I'm writing for the band, I try to think, okay, I'm going to create something that has sort of it gives a sort of a direction, but then everybody has to kind of figure out what to do for themselves. So it's, and especially this recent record is a lot less thoroughly composed by individual composers. It's more like there's kind of like an atmosphere or a world, and then everybody has to find their place within that. And that was also enabled by this digital collaboration over the course of the lockdown, because we were recording and exchanging stems, and then, you know, I would record something and send it, and then Filippo, the trombone player, would record something on top of it and send it back to me, and then maybe the Glauco would add some percussion, and so that's kind of how it came together essentially. And there was not really much in terms of like verbal discussion of what we needed to do. It was more like, okay, add my music to this thing.
Why does it work so well for you guys? What is it about the chemistry of the band that makes it so enjoyable to create?
Well, I think one thing that I think the underlying structure probably comes from the trio that I mentioned before, Hobby Horse. We've probably played, I think, at least 250 shows by now over the course of the last 12 years. And that's really a kind of a band that I think of that as sort of like, it kind of forged me, and I think and hope that the others feel the same way. It's been something where we kind of like, there was this initial feeling of trust between Joe and Stefano and I, and we ended up trying a lot of really weird stuff that I don't think we would have tried in a normal kind of quote unquote jazz context. I mean, we do a lot of singing, we do shouting, we play a lot of percussion. We ended up involving electronics. I think now the concerts are, a lot of people maybe think this isn't really jazz, which is not something I'm super concerned about. But I think this idea of kind of exploration and saying there aren't any real limits or rules has sort of allowed us to really expand our language. And I think the other three musicians that we invited found that to be sort of like a really fun playground to be in. So there's this underlying structure of kind of shared trust and the idea that if I do something crazy, the other guys are going to support me kind of unquestioningly. That allows us to take a fair amount of risk and also be ready to support each other. And I think that's kind of the underlying structure that allows it to be fun for us the way it is.
For sure. Yeah. No, and I've noticed that as kind of an outgrowth of over the last couple of years. I think there's been a lot of different elements that have been introduced into jazz that are by no means traditional and more experimental and electronic.
That's a real thing that's happening a lot lately, I think, especially at least in Europe. There's a lot of stuff that's kind of going in the direction of sort of more dance oriented stuff. And I guess if I think about it, to me, in a way, the history of this music is also about like blending or kind of introducing sort of polluting something pure with something that doesn't necessarily belong to it, you know. And I think that's kind of the way this music was born and evolved over time. So in a way, I think of that as sort of, and I think Mackay McRaven said this as well, that it's kind of like the tradition is innovation and breaking rules and irreverence in a way.
So if anybody wants to pick up the album, know more about the band, live shows, where is the best place for them to go?
The place I would recommend is you can either go to our Bandcamp, which is ghost-horse.bandcamp.com, or you can check out hororecords.com. I can spell that as hororecords.com. And that's the record label that we founded, actually, with the trombone player from the band and another drummer from Italy. And it's an independent artist-run label, and there's a lot of interesting stuff coming on that one. So I would encourage you to check that out.
Cool. Dan, hey, thanks, man, for opening up about the band. Good luck with the album and the return to the stage. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Joe. And I would like to just also mention that we didn't say this before, but it's available both on CD and on 180-gram vinyl, and it looks really nice. So
I concur. Yeah, it does look beautiful, yeah. And I'm a big fan of vinyl, so absolutely.
Okay, thanks a lot, Joe. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Italy, Kansas City, and spots all over the globe, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Dan for his time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com, and for everything Neon Jazz, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com or JoeDomino.com, and there you can kick in via Patreon or PayPal. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.